Ascend Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Succeeding as a First-Time Parent by Harvard Business Review. Introduction by Daisy Dowling. Narrated by Rachel Perry and Tom Parks. Introduction. No spreadsheet can cover this. By Daisy Dowling, series editor. By nature, I'm a planner and, I'll admit, a bit of a spreadsheet nerd. So 9 years ago, when I found out that I was expecting our first child, I opened up a fresh Excel sheet and got to work. Everything, and I mean everything, I thought I needed to do or think through before the baby's arrival made it onto my list, which, of course, was sortable by date, category, and stakeholder. With so much changing and so much unknown, it gave me a wonderful, reassuring feeling to know that I had ordered the right baby bathtub and that the insurance forms I needed to fill out before leave were already complete, signed, and ready to hand over to HR. A car seat, educational toys, the list of folks my husband should call from the hospital to let them know of our child's arrival? Check, check, and check. And, of course, I took workplace matters very carefully into account. I already had the corporate backup care number programmed into my phone, and my parental leave transition plan was one of the longest and most agonizingly detailed PowerPoints I've ever produced. Was I over-engineering things? Absolutely. But I was determined and doing my best, just as you're determined and doing your best, to step into parenthood on my front foot and to do right by my career and family. Of course, I didn't know what I didn't know. And as I quickly realized, so much of working parenthood will never fit in a spreadsheet or be reducible to any PowerPoint slide. 2 months after my daughter's birth, I got a dream job offer that left me scrambling to reconcile my career ambitions and my feelings about being the kind of loving, present parent I wanted to be. Back at work, I knew I would have a new daily schedule and additional logistics to adapt to. But I hadn't realized that I would also have to adapt to a new identity. If I was leaving work at 5:30 p.m. each day to get home to the baby, I worried. Was I still the hard worker I had always been and still wanted to be? Communicating wasn't easy. Every time I needed to mention my parenting obligations at the office, like when I had to duck out for a few hours to take my daughter to the pediatrician, I felt like an actor who had forgotten my lines. At home, of course, there were the tense negotiations with my husband, also a first-time working parent, on how to divide up our responsibilities. On top of it all, I needed to figure out how, between the emails and feedings, I could get a good night's sleep. Here's the kicker. I'm an executive coach. It's my full-time job to help other people push past challenges and obstacles and succeed. But as a rookie working parent, I didn't know where to even start with the challenge of combining career and kids. It was time to admit that my old approaches and tools might not work for me anymore. I needed to think beyond my lists and project plans and learn to play a whole new game. Chances are that your life, career, and ambitions as a working parent look very different from mine. You may be a dad, a single parent by choice, or perhaps you just welcomed twins or a child with complex needs. You may work in a very different field, and you're almost certainly much less Excel-obsessed than I am. But whatever our differences, I'll make a gentle guess that, just like me and every one of the hundreds of working parents I've advised, this first-time working parent thing has thrown you for a bit of a loop, that old tools and approaches may feel limited now, and that you're sailing into uncharted seas. As you do, you'll likely find yourself hovering around a few core questions. How can I succeed on the job, become the mom or dad I want to be, and remain myself all at the same time? How do I start moving in the right direction? And how can I feel good about how I'm doing along the way? This book will help you to tackle those questions, to move toward your own unique, authentic answers, and to feel more confident as you do. The expert voices collected in Succeeding as a First-Time Parent offer both perspective and how-to on the big-ticket matters that make the transition to working parenthood so daunting. Things like how to find the right childcare, or establish your working parent professional brand, or ramp up your career, if you choose to, post-leave, and how to self-coach effectively when you hit dilemmas and setbacks. There's no spreadsheet thinking here. None of these essays will cover which baby bathtub is the right one, or how to fill out that benefits form. What this book does focus on is you, and helping you navigate into these new waters of career plus caregiving safely and with confidence. My advice on how to use this book? Just go through at your own pace and let it sink in. You'll see that the ideas and advice within are encouraging and no nonsense. Take a deep breath and begin with a few articles that speak best to your biggest current concerns. Maybe your eye will be immediately drawn to Rebecca Knight's chapter on the return from parental leave. Maybe Marika Lindholm's section on single parenting will be just the kind of advice you've been looking for. Then, over the weeks to come, repeat. As you use this book, whether you're waiting for the baby's arrival, planning or returning from leave, or approaching your one-year anniversary of being a working mom or dad, remember, there's no single or Excel-ready model for working parenthood. What worked for your own parents or your sister or your friends and colleagues may not work for you. Your own old approaches and tools for getting things done and feeling like a high performer at work may not feel as effective now. And that's okay. Follow your instinct and do what feels right for you today. Remember, there's no supreme, all-knowing working parent evaluation committee passing judgment on your choices or writing up a report card. As long as you're transitioning into working parenthood thoughtfully and intentionally, which is what this book will help you do, then you're doing right by yourself, your career, and your family, all at the same time. Section 1. Every day, a new day. Your transition to working parenthood. 1. Planning Your Maternity or Paternity Leave by Rebecca Knight. Quick takes. Find out how much time you're entitled to. Draft a transition out plan and transition back memo. Set communication boundaries for your leave. Let go of work projects while you're away. Check in with your boss before you return. Taking any amount of time off work can be nerve-wracking, even if it's for a happy event like having or adopting a child. What's the best way to get ready for your parental leave? How should you set boundaries? Should you check in with your team while you're out? And what do you do if you realize that you want to change your work schedule while you're on leave? What the experts say. Very few organizations have a standard operating procedure for employees taking parental time off, says Joan C. Williams, founding director of the Center for Work-Life Law at the University of California's Hastings College of the Law. All too often they band-aid together a solution every time someone needs to go on leave, letting the burden fall on the parent-to-be. The lack of parental leave plans in organizations reflects the disconnect between people's personal lives and their work lives, says Lottie Balin, professor emerita at the MIT Sloan School of Management. It should be easier than it is, she says. The fact is that people have babies, they go on National Guard leave, they get sick, and their parents get sick. In other words, the need for leave is an inevitable fact of employment. The key is to assume a positive outlook. It's best if you assume it's going to go well. Here are some pointers. Get a head start. You want to start thinking about how you will manage your leave, how much time you will take, whether you'll be in contact, how you will transition back, well in advance. So before you go on leave, ideally before you're even expecting, investigate your organization's policies surrounding how much leave you're entitled to. This information, depending on the size of your organization, is usually available online or in an employee handbook. If you're unsure, contact your HR department. But be mindful about timing. When you talk to HR, it depends on your organization's culture, says Balin. She says that some people worry that they will be written off once they announce their family plans. Don't wait until the last minute, though. There is a considerable amount of paperwork and contingency planning that needs to happen, and it takes time for other people to figure out how to manage your absence, Balin says. Devise a transition strategy. About a month before your leave, ask your supervisor for help in creating a transition out plan, says Williams. This memo defines everything you do for the organization, describes where each of your projects stands, and identifies the specific colleagues or temporary workers who will fill in for you during your leave, she says. Without a plan like this, warns Williams, your work will be abruptly dumped on others. Balin recommends involving your colleagues. You need to work collectively and creatively to figure out how the work will get done in your absence, she says. This should motivate others. Team members will realize that if and when they need something, the group will support them too. Plan your return. In addition to the transition out plan, you should create a transition back memo to help set expectations and ensure an appropriate flow of work for your return, Williams says. It's very common to come back from leave with either no work or an overwhelming amount of work. Both of these are undesirable and a recipe for high attrition. Also, think about how you'd like to structure your return to the office. Be realistic about whether you want to do a gradual return to work, where you start out as part-time and work up to full-time, whether you'd like to negotiate additional work-from-home days, or if you'd like to be permanent part-time, she says. Then, depending on your relationship with your boss, explore those possibilities before you go on leave. If it's going to freak out your manager if you bring this up beforehand, don't, says Williams. But if your manager is more chill, why not have the information? Establish boundaries. While it's illegal for a company to ask you to work on your leave, says Williams, it's practical and considerate to let your colleagues know that you're reachable. She suggests saying something like, if you need a crucial piece of information from me, here's how to get in touch, and I'll do my best to get back to you as soon as I can. Just knowing that you're there if something important comes up will make everyone more comfortable, says Balin. And if your leave is longer than 3 months, you might also consider having regular planned meetings with your team, either in person or by video conference, at the 3, 4, and 5 month mark, she says. These meetings are a way to check in with your group and find how everything's going, which will help you when you return. Identify childcare ASAP. Balin suggests researching childcare options before your baby is born. Call agencies for recommendations or search online via parent networks. Tour facilities near your home and office. Check references on the places you like best by calling other parents. High-quality infant daycare is difficult to find, she says. If you're hiring a nanny, secure her at least 1 month before you return to work, recommends Williams. It's common for childcare to fall through at the last minute, and it puts your job in jeopardy, she says. Besides, this month-long overlap is a good investment for your career and your peace of mind. It allows you to see your childcare in action, which will help you feel better about leaving your baby. It also helps ensure that your transition back to work is seamless, Williams says. Let go. Don't be tempted to keep tabs on work projects and office politics while you're away. You can't say, while I am out, I want to be involved in A, B, and C. You need to let go, says Williams. Failing to do so will likely lead to frustration. You'll be torn between your very intense new responsibilities and very intense old responsibilities, she says. Involving yourself with work projects while you're on leave is also unfair to the colleagues filling in for you, says Balin. Think about your leave as an opportunity to help other people develop, she says. After all, you should have defined and planned how projects will be dealt with in your absence, she says. Have confidence that your people will handle things the way you would want them to be handled. And then, gear up. About 2 weeks before your leave is over, Williams recommends calling your boss to set up a one-hour meeting to review your transition back plan. You're not legally obligated to do this. It's a judgment call. But if it were me, I'd do it, she says. The alternative to this preemptive meeting is waiting to discuss your return on your first day back, which increases the likelihood that you will have either no work or too much work, she says. It's smart to check in with your team, too, before your official return, says Balin. Be honest with yourself. This pre-return check-in is also the time when you'll likely make final arrangements about your transition. Remember, though, it's a fluid situation. You don't know in advance how you'll feel physically and emotionally about going back to work, so you can't make hard and fast decisions ahead of time, says Balin. If you are having second thoughts about going back full-time, think creatively about how you could make the situation work. Balin recommends bringing your team in on these discussions. The problem with flexible arrangements is that they are often individually negotiated and kept in secret, she says. A better option is to work out a proposed plan with your team that delineates how the work would get done if you went part-time, and then bring it to your manager, she says. It could be in the spirit of, let's try this for 2 months and see if it works. Case study. Work collaboratively with your team on a workload plan. Erin Quinn Kong, the editor-in-chief of Austin Monthly, found out she was pregnant only a couple of days before her company's new publisher started on the job. She decided to hold off on sharing her news until she was 16 weeks pregnant. I have been here 5 years, but I had a brand new boss. I wanted to establish a relationship with him before I told him I was pregnant, says Erin, who is due in a few months. By the time she told her publisher, Erin had already mapped out a plan for how she would structure her leave, and also provided suggestions for how her staff could do the work while she was away. She also talked to her team. We discussed potentially bringing in someone new at the bottom, but the other editors here decided they wanted to handle it themselves, she says. We have planned as far in advance as possible, and we're all working hard now to get ahead. During her leave, which will consist of 8 weeks on disability pay and an additional 4 weeks of both paid and unpaid time off, Erin says she will go dark, but be reachable to her staff in the event that something important comes up. I trust them. I know they're good at their jobs, and they're not going to call me for in-the-weeds type stuff. They will figure it out. It will be a good learning experience for them. It has also been a good learning experience for Erin. I've gotten better at delegating since I announced I was pregnant, she says. When her maternity leave is over, Erin plans to return to her job full-time, but will work Wednesdays from home, an arrangement she has already worked out with her publisher. She started this flex time arrangement at the beginning of her third trimester, which has really helped with the transition. Her daughter will be in daycare one block away from Aaron's house. I will do drop-off, and my husband will do pickup, she says. That's the plan. 2. Understanding Identity as a New Working Mother by Jana Koretz. Quick takes. Rethink how you define success. Acknowledge that you're your own worst critic. Celebrate your wins, both large and small. Treat yourself with understanding and flexibility. Parenthood changes you. The roles you used to play, the identities you used to claim, lawyer, dog lover, spin enthusiast, all come second to your new responsibilities. For some, this rearrangement of priorities can lead to a crisis of identity. This is especially true for women who, for both social and neurological reasons, tend to feel the split demands of home and work most acutely. As a clinical psychologist focused on the mental health challenges of people in high-pressure careers, I often read articles and papers about how to get back to feeling yourself after becoming a parent. But there are no easy answers, no top 10 lists of tips and tricks that can bring instant comfort and clarity. Rachel, name has been changed, a longtime therapy client of mine, was a successful trader who had, as far as I could tell, never failed at anything in her life. So she never anticipated that being a working mother would be something she couldn't handle. Multitasking in a high-stress environment was basically her job description. How hard could it be to add on a few extra tasks at home? But when Rachel returned to work after maternity leave, she felt as if she was floating, distracted. She couldn't perform to her own standards at the office and felt as if she was dropping the ball at home, too. She had built her identity around her competence and intelligence. Now, that all seemed to belong to someone else. Research into the neurobiology of motherhood has provided some hints about why new mothers often find the return to work so challenging. After giving birth, multiple neurological and structural changes occur that can make it difficult for the new mother to exactly replicate her previous functioning. The brain actually redesigns itself, trimming old connections and building new ones. The result appears to be a brain optimized for theory of mind, the ability to understand what others might be thinking and perceiving. These cognitive and perceptual superpowers helped keep our ancestors alive while living among woolly mammoths. They also gave mothers that uncanny ability to analyze their new baby's cries and guess exactly what the infant needs. But the brain doesn't know about our modern work environment. Those connections that got trimmed might have been the ones that you relied on to get your job done. If you're someone who has constructed your adult identity around your career, suffering from mommy brain can shake your foundations. Even more unnerving, though, is the sudden instinct some feel to actually want to engage in motherhood above all else. The collision of these two identities, these two seemingly incompatible ways of being, that's the recipe for a good old identity crisis. Losing your bearings like this isn't just uncomfortable. It can lead to anxiety, depression, burnout, relationship issues, and even substance use. And for most of my clients who are working parents, the chaotic shift to remote work in the time of COVID-19 made things even harder. The boundaries that they once could draw between the household and the office have been blurred, and the human relationships that once gave work meaning have been reduced to a matrix of disembodied video chatting heads. No wonder that so many of us feel so unlike ourselves. Sorting out your identity can be a long and complicated endeavor. But there are two mental rethinks that I often use with my clients to help them figure out how to approach the complicated new world they find themselves in. Rethink success. You used to aim for maximum efficiency and effectiveness. Now, you can give yourself a gold star just for survival. You'll have to let a lot go and adjust your definition of success. I guarantee you'll come out ahead if you give yourself credit for all your work on the home front. To do so, try redefining success as getting stuff done both in and out of the office. Where success might once have meant closing a big client over steaks at a swanky place downtown, it now might mean whipping up breakfast for dinner, ignoring the mess all over the house, as you shout silly songs to your kids giggling in the other room. That client might take an extra day or two to sign, but in the meantime, you've been racking up the wins at home. You're doing way better than you're giving yourself credit for. Frame those parenting victories as something to be celebrated. Rethink yourself. Our identities go through many changes through the course of our lives. Instead of feeling that your identity has been disrupted, think of it as having been expanded. You were once yourself. Now you're yourself plus something else. There's room to become more. Parenthood is far from the first time your identity has undergone a shift. Taking on big personal projects, like training for a triathlon, can often shift our perceptions of ourselves. In that way, adding parent to your identity shouldn't require you to abandon old parts of yourself any more than adding triathlete or great cook or photographer should. We're often our own most vicious critic. Let go of the pressure you're putting on yourself and treat yourself with the understanding and flexibility you'd grant to your best friend. Would you rip your friend for feeding their kids chicken nuggets two nights in a row because something came up at the office? You'd probably laugh about it with them and then pass the ketchup. Above all, realize that there are no easy answers, just the hard work in becoming a better, if more complicated, version of yourself. And after you help fight a worldwide pandemic by working from home, answering emails through a soupy brain fog while your toddler is screaming for mustard with their nuggets instead, you'll get there.
3. Mastering the Dad Transition by Bruce Feiler. Quick Takes. Accept that becoming a father brings a host of emotions. Find appropriate venues to explore your feelings. Free yourself from old expectations. Create new habits at home and embrace a new culture at work. Update your life story to include the new chapter of fatherhood. Among the transitions people face in their lives, becoming a parent may be the most consequential. The fact that this life change is often expected and joyful does little to reduce the emotional upheaval and personal and professional adjustment required. But while the transition that new moms face, everything from postpartum depression and career anxiety to a heightened sense of pride and purpose, has been deeply studied by academics and oft discussed in popular culture, the transition that new dads face has been woefully ignored by researchers and reduced to little more than a punchline in popular culture. Yet the two transitions can't be separated. The impact brought on by massive growth in the number of working moms is inextricably entangled with the impact of having a new culture of engaged dads. As more and more moms have entered the workspace, 2/3 of mothers with children under 6 work outside the home. For those with children over 6, the number balloons to 77%. More dads have entered the parenting space. Some of this change is by necessity. Working moms, by definition, have less time in their day for childcare and increasingly demand that dads step up. But far more of the change is by choice. Dads, it turns out, enjoy being more involved in child rearing. Asked how they view their role in the family, 3/4 of fathers say their role is both earning money and caring for my child. While this flowering of interest in fatherhood has many upsides for dads, moms, and children alike, it raises a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?